These exercises are designed to raise Kundalini, but will not bring about any dramatic raise of Kundalini. There are some exercises that are designed to do just that, but they are for the most part extremely dangerous. And if you make any mistake doing them, you can be a cripple for life, or a raving maniac, or you can die, or you can succeed. You have about a 25% chance, probably not quite that much, in succeeding. But these exercises are slower than some of the potent Hindu exercises, but nevertheless they are probably surer in one way, inasmuch as we do not go out of our way to force anything. I believe that a person who tries to force the raise of Kundalini is either a person who knows what he's doing, either that or he doesn't know what he's doing. I don't think there's an intermediate person. If he knows what he's doing and does it with the right instruction, then he should get someplace. If he doesn't know what he's doing, it's best to leave it alone entirely. Now, we all know that the idea of doing these exercises is to take into our bodies a greater energy. We know that the air around us is filled with oxygen, nitrogen, traces of other gases. And we know that the physical body must have these gases. But we also know something else. We know that in the gases, actually contained in the gases themselves, in the molecules of the oxygen and nitrogen, which constitute the air we breathe, there is a universal life force. We know that you can take this universal life force into yourself in three different ways. One, by eating, secondly, by drinking, and third, and most important, by breathing. You can go without food for a couple of weeks and still live. You can go without drinking liquid for several days and still live, but you cannot go without breathing for more than a few seconds and still live. So therefore, of the three ways of taking energy into our body, breathing is by far the most important way. And we do take in probably more universal life force through breathing than we do through eating or drinking liquids. So therefore, we can see that breathing is vital to our existence, and if it's vital to our existence, it is absolutely vital to our spiritual evolution as well. No one, repeat, categorical statement, no one has ever received any appreciable degree of enlightenment, neither will they ever receive any appreciable degree of enlightenment unless they breathe properly. You live in this life so many breaths, and if you make those breaths long, you will live longer, and if you make those breaths short, you will live a shorter time, and you will have to come back quicker. And that's the truth of it. It's a categorical statement. Nobody of any enlightenment has ever said otherwise. If they do, they are foolish, and they haven't enlightenment. So on breathing, we can afford to be very categorical. Whether we like it or not doesn't matter, but we can be absolutely dogmatic and make certain very definite statements. I think I told you before that when I used to run a class of yoga in England, I had a man come along. I didn't know what job this man did, except that he was a very intelligent, a very searching student. And I made such statements to him, and I didn't see him again for a few weeks, and when I saw him again, he said, "I have proved your statements to be correct." He said, "I was not willing to accept them in a dogmatic manner." And I agreed with him, of course, that he was right. He should not accept a dogma unless he either knows it to be correct intuitively or can prove it to be correct. And he said, "I am the headmaster of a school for backward children, and I have made a careful analysis of the way these children breathe. And number one, not one of them breathes correctly, and number two, those that breathe better than others are more forward than others." That man will never again turn away from yoga as long as he lives, because this to him was a proof, absolute proof. Actually, he introduced breathing methods into the school in a very careful way, of course. Didn't say what it was for. He introduced them as games at first, and then he went on from there to athletics and sports, and he found a vast improvement in some pupils. And the improvement apparently came quickly, and as of course it will. Now, you can just breathe prana in and out with the oxygen in a normal fashion, as every living thing on earth does. Or you can go a little further than that and use your mentality, your concentration, to concentrate the flow of prana in and out of the body, mainly into the body. If you do this, then the whole thing is enhanced hundreds and hundreds of times.